This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true.
Hello and welcome to True Romance. This is Devin Leary. I am normally joined by one Carolina, some say Rose Barlow, but she is in London right now doing God knows what. So in her place, we have one of my closest friends, a true miracle, which is a friend I've made in adulthood. We had not really been friends until the past couple years. And adult friendship is rare and it's beautiful. And I'm really grateful for it. So I'm grateful to have Leslie here with us. Friend of the pod, Leslie Tynick. Welcome.
Hi, Devin. Thanks for having me. I'm very nervous, as you know. But
don't be nervous.
That was so sweet. Thank you for that introduction. I'm also very grateful for you and happy to be here.
Okay, so one of the first things that Leslie and I bonded about is our obsession with television in general, television as medicine, television constantly playing in the background no matter what we're doing, filling the void with endless TV content, but also in particular, the reality genre.
Yes.
And so what are some of the reality shows that have shaped you as a person?
Wow, that's deep.
I know.
I would say my first ever reality show, as you know, which I'm obsessed with to this day, is Survivor. I'm a big Bravo gal. Love all the Bravo franchises, but I'll watch anything. Like, I'll watch Teen Mom. Okay.
I love a good Teen Mom every once in a while. OG?
OG, Teen Mom 2, Below Deck. Like, I do not, you know, I don't stop. I'll watch anything reality. Summer House.
Okay, wait. So two things. Okay, the questions are already just brimming over the top of the goblet, as they would say in Ultimatum and Love is Blind.
Right.
So what are your thoughts on the new season of Survivor that we have watched many episodes of together?
Well, I'm currently rewatching older seasons. Ozzy is my favorite survivor of all time. I deeply regret not introducing myself to him when I saw him in person once. So as I'm rewatching older seasons, I do not like the new model as much. But also when you first start watching a new season, you have to like become attached to certain players in order to like be into it, I feel. But it's also shorter now with COVID. It used to be 39 days, so people got a lot more tired. There was a lot more drama. Now it's only, like, I think 25 days. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not blown away yet, but things can change at any of the upcoming tribals. We shall see.
So you, first of all, one time I was watching Survivor with Leslie, and I was talking with other friend of the pod, Tess Sitzman, and we were just, like, chatting, and Leslie shushed us by saying, it's literally tribal. And we were like, oh, shit. Okay. She's very serious about tribal. And I get that. I guess like to me, it's like it's more of a social experience to watch Survivor and less of like a fully engaged experience. But I appreciate how I'm learning from you to focus on things such as tribal. And I do think this season is like so complicated. It's like they have like the prisoner's dilemma and like so many weird like rules. And like there's like you, one person has to talk about potatoes. One person has to say soccer made them cry. Like what's going on? And it's a lot. And I don't know. Hopefully it'll get simpler with the merge. But my next question is thoughts on one of my ultimate favorite train wrecks, Summer House, the most recent season. Thoughts?
I have so many thoughts. I mean, first of all, Kyle and Amanda.
I cannot.
It hurts me. I mean, just the entire season. I mean, he's obviously drinking an insane amount and their relationship is just, it's such a disaster, but they did get married, right?
They're married. It's like the looming, I hate to say the looming tower because I don't want to compare this to 9/11, but it's like the looming tower over the season is like, we know these people are actually going to get married. And it's so dark to know that. It's like, wait, how, why, in what world? Like, I don't know. I respect so much the effort. Like, I feel like Sierra and Paige have gone above and beyond to be like, hey, you can get out of this. And Amanda will not budge. And Kyle, I guess, is just like, I don't know. He somehow deep down knows that she's too good for him and he's going to try not to lose it. But it's just like, no. When anytime someone brings up your wedding, one of you cries and one of you screams, it's a red flag.
I know. I love Paige and Sierra, though. They're my favorite.
I love them so much. I can barely stand Lindsay for another second. My new disappointment, I used to hate Carl, but this season I have like a whole new love for him and he means a lot to me now as a character. And I think he's way too good for Lindsay. And now I'm like, fuck, like, why is he with Lindsay? That's another looming tower. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's dark. So that is Summer House. But really, people of the pod, I can't even explain what was dumped into our Netflix feeds last Wednesday. And yes, I did watch every single episode by last Thursday until the new episodes came out this week. And I'm talking about The Ultimatum.
Yeah.
This was something else. So, I mean, I guess it's like at this point, there's just not a lot left in terms of reality show premises. Like, and when I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, this is like really interesting. But because I was like, oh, okay, like ultimatums, like, yeah, you hit the point in your relationship where it's like, get married and move on, I guess, and like whatever. But once they explained fully the rules in episode one of The Ultimatum, I was like, okay, this is fucking crazy. Like, we cannot do this. Like, are we really gonna do this? So basically, as explained by Nicholas Lachey and Vanessa Lachey, a smattering of several couples come on this show. Every single one of them are at such a low point in their relationship that one of them has given the other an ultimatum: marry me or move on. So these couples come on, they're like, we're in such a hellish place that one of us wants to break up, basically. And this is like the final shot. Like, we've all been there. It's like, you're like, okay, I'm going to try one last thing. But obviously this is like doomed. So they come on this show and for the first 3 weeks, they will get to choose someone from one of the other couples, a total stranger, to pretend to be married to for 3 weeks so that they can have the experience of like what it would be like to be married to someone else, which, by the way, makes no sense. It's like they should have just been like, you can just go out for 3 weeks and like party, yeah, like go to a club, which sounds like they did anyway, which that was hard for me to follow. But Nick Lachey explains it like, well, we all know if you don't want to get married, it's because like you think that you would be happier with someone else. I'm like, I don't think it's that simple, but okay. So the show starts and it's like, okay, all these people who are in relationships are going to flirt with each other's partners and choose a new partner out of the group. And then we're all going to go to dinner after.
Right.
I mean, is everyone okay? Like, in what world? And they're all like, so this is for my merit. Like, this is for my relationship that I'm doing this. Like, I'm choosing us. I'm doing the thing that's best for us. I'm like, this isn't best for anyone. Like, besides me watching it, we get Alexis and Hunter for some reason, I like her. I can't explain why. I know that she blatantly said she will only be with someone who makes a certain amount of money. And
wow, I'm shocked. You like her?
I like
her. Devin.
I like that she's like a little bit unhinged. And when she like yelled at Colby and was like, okay, I think you're a bad person. And like went up to Madeline and was like, okay, he sucks. And like, you shouldn't, like, I liked that.
Okay. My initial off the bat was not, I like Alexis. I thought they seemed, yeah, they all seem older, especially them, especially her.
Her and Hunter seem minimum 45.
Yeah. I thought Hunter was super sweet. For me, she was so superficial. And yeah, all she cared about was him making more money. So there was nothing to like hold on to there. But I did like when she freaked out at Colby, which we can get to him. But yeah. Okay, go on.
She also said that Hunter is patient and lets her run the show.
Right.
And like, no, I guess at least she's self-aware, but yikes.
Okay. All right. Well, we have a different opinion on Alexis, but no worries.
But no worries. This is the feeling I'm getting of when Leslie came over and I was like, oh yeah, like my room's really messy. So I closed the door and she's like, let me look at it. And I was like, oh, okay. Haha. Thinking it's like quirky. Like I'm like girl with a messy room. And I saw Leslie's face and it was like, I will never look at you the same.
Oh my God.
That's how you're looking at me when I say I like Alexis.
No, I mean, I was surprised. It's not something I would have assumed, but I understand because her outburst at Colby was warranted and kind of iconic, but I would never be friends with her.
No, I wouldn't be friends with her, but like, I
enjoy
her. You
want to be friends with her.
No, I haven't reached out to her for friendship via Instagram and her DMs and asked
her
to hang out.
We should have gotten her here. She would have done it.
I think she would do it. And I actually am to be looking into that.
Yeah, you need to. Okay. So you guys can become friends.
So she's my new you, basically.
Okay, great.
And she is probably going to say no when she listens to this episode where I said she looks 45. But listen, I'm saying I think she has like an old soul, like she's mature and like whatever. So next we have, in my personal opinion, the most enraging, distressing, triggering, confusing, upsetting, disturbing couple on the whole show. And that is Madeline and Colby.
Correct.
Upon first testimonial, like when most people are like, hi, I'm Alexis, I'm Hunter, and like, I want to have kids, and he doesn't, whatever. It's just couldn't be more purely clear and simple that Madeline hates this person. Like, she hates him. And he's like, tries to kiss her on the cheek at one point. And she goes like, Colby. And she's basically like, I don't think I want to get married because like, I just do definitely think that there's like, possibly someone else better out there. And I don't think that like that is a good idea. And she said she doesn't believe in soulmates. She wonders what it would be like to be in another relationship and maybe she'd be happy with someone else. And meanwhile, he's crying and saying how in love he is with her. Later we learn, or I shouldn't even say later, very quickly, I think we learn that he's just kind of like putting on a show. Like he wants to be that type of guy who is like, I'm the good guy. Like, I just love her. Like, I don't know. I just want to marry her. And it's like, that is not you. You are a covert narcissist in sheep's clothing. But that is not immediately obvious in this first episode.
Right. Agreed. Also wearing a cowboy hat.
He does choose cowboy hats. Also, I went to his Instagram and there are a lot of like hunting and gun photos. So we all know who this type of person is. I do feel that his parents voted for Bush and he thinks that was a smart decision by them. Then we get Shanique and Randall. At this point, when we first met Shanique and Randall, I thought they were like so cute. I was like, why are they even doing this? Why is she even pressuring him? They seem really happy. They should just like be together. They're only 24. But my opinions did change later on.
Yeah, I agree.
Then we have this weird speech by Vanessa Lachey. I mean, when do we not have a weird speech by Vanessa? I feel like they're getting the wrong understanding. Like, I feel like memes of Nick and Vanessa go viral from Love is Blind because people think they're so weird and embarrassing. But then Netflix interprets it as like, we want more of them because they were very much more prevalent in this show.
Yeah.
Like they were like sharing about their own marriage. Like, we went on a break too. I gave him an ultimatum. I fixed his bachelor pad. And I'm like, I don't need to hear about this. And so Vanessa says that this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. For me personally, don't agree. I mean, once in a lifetime opportunity to engage in a train wreck. Yes. Once in a lifetime opportunity to save your marriage. Like, my problem with this is that I do get, like, even though Nick and Vanessa bothered me on Love is Blind too, I did get the moral high ground they were pretending to be on, because they were like, this isn't about looks. Like, this is about falling in love with who someone really is. And, like, I do think at its core, that's like a semi-moral premise. What, in terms of, in the reality show universe, where it's like the premise is Americans go to third world countries and marry someone for a visa. Like, right. When that's the world we're living in, trying to get people to fall in love, not based on looks, is a moral premise. I don't know how they went, the creators of that made this, which is like, there's no morals at all. It's basically like, we know you guys are all in a very emotionally tense, rock bottom state, and we would like you to now leave your relationships and lose all contact and just live with someone else and see what that does. Like, but I feel like Nick and Vanessa were still kind of being like, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. Like, marry or move on. Like, this is going to save. It's like, what? How is this helping anyone?
Also, what's so interesting about the premise is like, marry or move on, but also they said in the beginning, if you choose the new person that you've like recoupled with, then you have to also marry them or move on.
Right.
It was like, marry. Why would I marry this person I met 3 weeks ago?
Right. Well, that's also the buried lead with all of these things, is like the reality world's take on marriage is like, it doesn't matter who the person is. You should want this above all else.
Like, yes, totally.
That is what was behind Love is Blind too. It's like, I want to be a wife. I want to just be married. So if this person I've never even seen before wants to do that, great. And like, married at first sight is like that to the most extreme. It's like the idea of being married. And April even said in this too, like, she's like, I'm going to be a wife. Like, I want to be someone's wife. It's all about like married no matter what. And I do wish that at any point someone would have said like, or not, like, or you could not be married, like, don't have to. I don't think the Lachey's are those type of people. It seemed like Vanessa's narrative the whole time was like, yeah, like, we hit some really rough patches and we're still married. And aren't we so happy? And totally. Nick was like kind of disassociated. So as they're giving their speech, we meet April. Because she is a presence that cannot be silenced by anything, even other people talking. She just immediately starts kind of like throwing out phrases while Vanessa is speaking. She's like, my hand is saying yes, my hand is saying yes. Like, just don't know what's going on there. I have never been more terrified. Like, there were moments when April looks at the camera and I felt like she was looking at me and I like gasped. I was like, oh God. Because
yeah, she's
scary.
I know.
The talking in third person, like April's going to get what April wants. April's going to do what April's going to do. April's going to be a wife if April's going to be a wife. Like,
it was crazy. I know. The whole time.
I cannot. So we meet April and Jake. Also, Jake, like, hates her guts. Again, very similar to Madeline, where it's like he's literally openly rolling his eyes at her. Within the first two episodes, he tells her, like, everything that's wrong in their relationship is her fault, and she doesn't ever listen to him or do anything that he asks her to do. She cries every other sentence. Like, everything makes her cry, always on edge. Like, she cries because he bought her a car. Like, she's like, why did you buy me a car if you don't want to marry me? Like, now I just have to drive an SUV around and just look in the back and there's no one there. Like, it's tough.
No, my other favorite thing that they always say is like, this experience. They'll be like, I'm doing this experience because this experience is going to help me. And I'm like, okay, what is this experience? This is insane, but sure.
And yeah, she was big on that.
She really, they all wanted to be on TV, mainly her and Colby, I would say. But
yeah, it did seem like she was just like talking as much as she could so that the camera would just go to her at various moments and like she would be speaking. Also, when they were doing, so they're doing this thing where it's like you meet the couple and then they have like a one-on-one like last date before their like marriage ends for 3 weeks, which is right. Like what's going on. And so on her last date with Jake, she says she's like, I want to be with you until we're like 50, 65 years old. Like, as if she's saying like, until death do us part. And it's like, is this World War One era, like America before there was antibiotics? Like, I don't like, why is that a lifespan to you? Or are you just planning to get a like midlife divorce? Not sure. So that's her level of red flagginess. And I think you can all imagine how downhill it goes from there. So next we have the Lana Del Rey of the show. Not really even that worth talking about. We have Lauren and her incel husband, Nathan, who again is like pretending to be like the perfect nice guy who just wants kids. But obviously there's like a deep anger there.
He was the scariest of everyone on the show to me, beyond.
I wanted to see more of how crazy he was.
Yeah, I know. And it ended abruptly, but I think from the jump, like his eyes, I was like, something is deeply wrong. And Lana, AKA, what's her name?
Lauren. Yeah.
Like seemed dead inside. Like fully, she was not even there.
She wasn't there. She was gone. And she was like, I don't want to bring children into this world. because why would she? Because she's trapped. She was 26. Like, I'm sorry. In what world is this the oldest person there? I'm sorry. Like, they are not all 23, but that's like a separate conspiracy to discuss at a later time. So then Ray and Zay, this is a tough one that they make me really sad. I feel like Ray from the start, this was one that everyone found confusing, including me, because as Nick Lachey explained, it seemed like Ray was the one who brought Zay on the show, giving him an ultimatum to marry her or move on. But then he was the one who was kind of ultimatuming her the whole time because he seemed way more invested in her than she was with him. It seemed like she was just looking for a way out.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I think it switched up for Zay when he saw her with someone else. Then he was like, oh shit, this is real. And he had a lot of jealousy. But I know they make me so sad. And I love Zay.
I kind of love both of them. I mean, well, we don't have to get into it.
I know, because I'm thinking ahead to the reunion already, and I want to talk about that. But we'll, because there's so much that comes out there. But yeah, we'll get there. But I love both of them too, and I think they were confusing because it seemed like there was a lot of love. But
to me, they, meaning Ray, is the person whose intention of coming on the show made the most sense to me, because I do understand that desperation of like, can literally anything please happen to get me out of this relationship? Like, I know I can't be in this relationship. It's painful every day, but I can't seem to get out. Like, can something happen? Can I find a text from another girl? Can anything occur that is just the obvious way out? And I feel like she was like thinking that. And then she saw like a weird Instagram ad that was like casting for a reality show, the ultimatum. And she was like, okay, this is my out and I'm taking it. And then she went on the show and did this whole thing of like, I want to get married. And then literally in the first testimonial, the interviewer is like, so why do you want to marry Zay? And she's like, can we come back to that one? And they're like, oh, okay. So that's tough. Then we have the couple starting to like flirt with each other, mingle with each other. This is when it comes out even further that Madeline fucking hates Colby. This is where I'm like, Madeline becomes, again, like, I don't like her. I don't want to be friends with her, but she is one of my favorite reality TV show characters of all time.
She's so funny.
Everything she's doing.
I laughed out loud.
Cannot get enough. She sits down with the first guy she's talking to since her husband, like when they're choosing their new partners. And she immediately says, honestly, Colby's an awesome guy, but he annoys me. And sometimes the things that you originally love about a person can really become the things you hate about them. Like, she's just straight up like, I hate him. So anything else you want to talk about? And she's like, I can't wait to meet the new guys. Like, I'm really into Randall. I'm like, okay, so you're just like, can't wait to hook up. Like, you're just like,
exactly.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Goodbye. And everyone else struggles a little bit more than that. Like, everyone else seems a little bit more like, okay, this is tough. Like, I've been in a long-term relationship and now I'm like flirting with people and it's weird. But anyway, that part kind of moves quickly into also like the timeline of the show moves very fast and is very hard to follow. But
yeah,
basically that moves quickly into the choice where everyone chooses who they're going to go with. Quickly, right before they make the choice, Jake does tell April that she is everything that's wrong with their relationship and says that he's already found someone who checks off all his boxes, which, by the way, like, she does have resilience, because I would be like, cool, I am so wounded, I need to go to the hospital right now. Like, goodbye, I can never talk to you again. And she was just like, okay, like, this is the experience. Like, yes, like, she's crying, but she's like, I came in this experience to be told stuff like this. And like, that's it.
I would be crushed. He's like, I've essentially found my person. And she's just like, okay, well, April's going to get what April needs from this experience. And like, April's here. And I'm like, oh my God, I would be like, I would literally leave the show and like jump into the pool and scream and cry in front of everyone if that happened to me.
I want true romance.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
So they go into the choosing. So this is where Nate's incel behavior comes out, because he has like this long list of people he's going to choose and every single person rejects him. So basically they're asked to stand up and say who they are choosing as their new spouse. And then that person is asked to stand and explain who they're choosing. Like, are they choosing the same? Again, it's very chaotic. They're trying to find someone to be their new fake spouse for 3 weeks. And Nate gets rejected like 3 different times. This thing that occurs, it boggles my mind that they never like followed up on this moment of drama. But for some reason, he like makes eye contact with Madeline and he goes, yeah, I'm going to choose you. And she's like, wait, what? Are you serious? And he's like, I'm going to choose you. And then 2 seconds later, he proposes to Lauren.
No, it's insane. They did follow up on it, though. Remember, Madeline like called it out after April's moment, which we'll get into. And then Madeline was like, wait, but you just said you were going to choose me. And now you're proposing to Lauren. And Lauren's response, just the whole thing. That was my favorite episode.
Okay, wait. So I feel like I was probably doing Wordle or something like that when this occurred. Can you explain this?
Yeah. So basically, we see Nate, who's literally the creepiest person, staring at all the women. April says, April calls him out when she gets into her whole crying fit, which we'll go into more. But basically, April's like, I was going to choose Nate, but the whole time we were talking, he was staring at April's tits and not April.
Oh,
and
I was I forgot about this.
So that starts. And then Madeline's like, wait, you literally just said you were going to choose me. Like, what is wrong with you? And then he freaks out. Well, this is after he gets up and proposes. Then they call him out. But yeah, the proposal, well, we're getting all over the place because the first proposal happens and then he piggybacks, which was just insane.
It's not a normal choice. So yeah, so Hunter, who truly does seem like a pure soul, just like immediately,
Agreed.
He was like, I choose Alexis. I want to marry Alexis. And that was a cute moment. And so this was like, I think Nate was like, there's like a thing where like sociopaths mirror like normal people's behavior. Like Jodi Arias, like the officer who was interrogating her, said that it was like weird that she hadn't cried at all when her ex-boyfriend just died. And then she started crying. And this was similar to me, not to compare an innocent person to a murderer, but I am doing that because it felt like Nate was like, oh, he proposed and everyone loved it. I'll just do what that guy just did. And everyone was like, you are fucking psycho. And then Lauren was like, abso-fucking-lutely, yes.
Oh my God, when she said abso-fucking-lutely, I was like, I hate you.
I was like, I thought you were Lana, and you actually are, because Lana is also cringe.
No, but you're so right, because he sees what happens. He, like, clocks that everyone's like, oh my God, amazing, congrats, you guys. Like, because it was a genuine moment between, between them. And then he's like, oh, I'm going to do that. And he like gets up and he like moves her chair himself. Like he's not even like, can I, he like is so assertive. And he's just like, I don't care about, because his whole thing was like, I need kids. And then she didn't want them, which is totally fair. And then he's like, if you're not in my life, I don't have any family without you. And then she says, abso-fucking-lutely, to which I say, I'm finished with both of you.
Goodbye. Walk out. Walk on out.
Bye. Especially Nate.
The producers did listen to us on that because they did bring back Alexis and Hunter like randomly, which was kind of weird. Like they had like a bachelorette party for Alexis later in the season, but they never brought back Nate and Lauren until the finale. And then, I mean, the reunion. And even when they did, it was kind of just like, okay, you guys are weird. Let's move on.
Yeah, I wanted more, but I was also done with them. But yeah, then after all this happens, April freaks out and goes into like a 15-minute monologue. That makes no sense.
It was, I don't want to bring this up because it's my least favorite thing to talk about, but it was almost akin to like Will Smith's acceptance speech at the Oscars, where it's just like, I'm not really following, like, at some points, it's like, okay, like, are you apologizing? And then it's like, wait, what? Like, I don't know what you're talking about now. That's kind of what it was, where I was like, okay, I can see why she disagrees with their proposal. I can see why she's like, hey, like, she's doing the classic, like, The Bachelor. Like, hey, I'm serious about this. And, like, I'm taking time away from my life. And what are you doing? But then at other moments, she totally loses what she's originally talking about. And she's it's just hard to follow.
Yeah, she's sitting there saying how hard it is for her. Like, I'm sitting and listening to my person, the love of my life, my best friend, say that he found someone else. And, like, I'm in this experience. And if you're not in this experience, then I don't know why you're even here. And I was just like, okay, everyone's drunk, I guess. Like, really drunk, maybe. Like, you make zero sense. Granted, I would be having a mental breakdown, too. But then all the guys come to her defense. Jake, Randall, like a bunch of guys are like, yeah, like that's so fucked up. Like,
yeah,
you're fake. And so it was a unifying moment for the group and everyone in the quote unquote experience, minus the two that leave us.
I agree. And you did see that Jake did have like love for April, as you do when you like are in a long-term relationship with someone, you do like love them as a person most of the time. And he was kind of like, hey, like, don't fuck with this. So then we move quickly from this insane, like very difficult to follow debacle that is the choosing ceremony into the couples living together, the new couples, and then like almost immediately meeting each other's families, which was a shocking choice to me. They seem to have had like a condensed timeline. I don't know. It was like the time moved so fast in these episodes. Like, maybe there was like more stuff, but it wasn't enough drama. So they just cut straight to meeting the parents. Maybe they had to rush it out because of the Love is Blind season doing so well. But they're immediately meeting people's families. And obviously that's chaos, especially when Madeline introduces Randall to her friends and they immediately just completely drag this person. Obviously, I hate Colby, but like they are dragging him.
I know.
One of the friends just says, so has Colby gotten louder? He's really loud, like just out of nowhere. Another of them says that she also hooked up with Colby and that he's not as attractive as Randall and that Randall would be, quote, a more rememberable lover than Colby. Like, they're immediately like, we love Randall, we hate Colby. And Madeline's like egging them on. Like, she's like, yeah, he sucks, right? Like, he totally sucks. And Randall's amazing, right? Like, fuck Colby. And it's like, cool.
No,
why are you here? Why are you in a relationship with this person?
And also, if you watch Randall, like, I just felt like Randall was like, get me out of this.
It was weird.
Friend group of this conversation. Like, it was super weird. But I do love Madeline too. Like, when Colby initially walked in with the hat, she was like, really, the hat? Like, in her own little thing. And I was like, you're funny. So yeah, so they're dragging him completely. The friends are like, Randall's hot and you guys should hook up, basically.
Yeah, which I love that energy, but it is like definitely toxic. Like, I love it in the way that every once in a while, I love looking at the skincareedit.com, which is like a weird jank website that slows down my browser, but shows every single step of plastic surgery that various celebrities have gotten. Like, I love her friends in the way I love an activity like that. It's like, this isn't good for anyone, but like, I just need this right now.
Yeah. Yeah. But if that was real life and like, I was saying that to you about your boyfriend, like, that's insane.
If you're like, has he gotten louder? 'Cause he's really loud.
And then her friend being like, yeah, we hooked up. It's not like I remembered it or anything. It's like, what? What are the, like, imagine if I was like, yeah, I hooked up with Devin's boyfriend. Like, it's not like it was rememberable and we're best friends. Like, that's so insane.
It's not like it was rememberable or anything. Like, sucks for Devin. So yeah, that is that. I thought Zay's moment with Shanique's family made me truly believe in my core that like Shanique and Zay were going to run off into the sunset together when her mom is like, he says he has no one to call because he has this tragic story about his parents abandoning him. And he's like, my eyes are sweating, like he's getting emotional. And Shanique's mom says like, you can call me. Like, I cried.
I know, I did too. That was such a sweet moment. It seemed really genuine too when they met. And I love Zay. He seems like he's very, I don't know, he's like super vulnerable. He talks about his childhood, the trauma, and it's a really sweet moment. And I love him.
I love him too. And I love Shanique in that moment. And I love her family. Her family's amazing. On the other hand, Jake's mom is one of the more terrifying people that I've come across on reality TV, and she is clearly in cahoots with April. She's like, so I'm talking with April and like, you're misunderstanding her. Like, you need to get back with April. Like, what are you doing? And Ray is just there. Like, I thought Ray handled that so well. I would have been having a total meltdown. I would have smoked an entire pack of cigarettes during that like picnic outing that they did, because what the fuck? Like, just sitting across from a woman who's like, no, sorry, it's not you. It's this other girl. And he needs to realize that.
I know. I rewatched that because I couldn't remember. And yeah, Jake's mom is my worst nightmare as a mom or as like a mother-in-law, like just so unbelievably involved. Like, why is she talking to April?
Yeah, it's not cool. And she like, I feel like she knows it's not cool, but like, she's kind of like, yeah, we have been talking. Like, she's trying to start drama.
Totally. And Jake's obsessed with her. Jake's like, I'm a mama's boy, which I'm just like, enough. Enough of this.
You're a mama's boy and that's your mama. Okay. Okay. I see.
Like, it's enough, Jake. And I agree. Like, Ray was so chill. She was just like smiling and like being quiet. I was like, wow. Okay.
So then we get yet another, like, just when you think this show can't get more chaotic, they then announce that all of the girls will be going out for a night out on the town together and all the boys will be going out on the town together as well. So this means that basically all of these girls are sitting with the girl that their partner is currently sleeping in the same bed as. Like, that's what it is. It's like you're sitting with the other woman, but you're also the other woman to each other, all of you. Like, in what world is this not going to go horribly? And it does go horribly. This is when I again fall deeper in love with Madeline and also deeper in hate with her at the same time, which is complicated. Totally. But I love her as a character because she's purposely like heightening the drama. Like, she's being like, okay, Ray, you need to be with Jake because you're like happy with him and you have a connection. And like, April, you talk too much and you're hot, but like, fuck you, you talk too much. And also, like, Randall and I are probably going to hook up and we hold hands. And Shanique is getting very, everyone's getting triggered. Everyone's like, wait, what?
I mean, Madeline is insane during that. She's so wasted. She's like, honestly? And she gets this like, I mean, they all at different periods in the show express baby talk or like some like trying to be sexy voice. And it makes me physically ill. Like, Madeline's like, honestly, like, you need your man. And I'm just like, okay, you're wasted on this show. You're being so disrespectful. Shanique was amazing how she handled that. I would have lost it. I would have like jumped over the table and strangled her.
Shanique was like silently building her revenge plan and she was planning to take it all out on,
I know,
what's his name. But she did handle that well, where she was just kind of like, I'm going to let this girl be messy and I'll just be very poised and I'll come out looking good. Madeline then goes home wasted and goes to their weird like IKEA warehouse apartment. And I don't know what happened. Like, Randall basically was like, oh, Colby said. So then, wait, this is another weird plot twist that happens. Like, the boys go out to eat. Everyone clearly hates Colby because he sucks. And Colby says that like another night when they went out, he made out with a random girl who wasn't even in the competition. So this is where I was like, wait, they're all like, how much time has passed? They're all going out with each other on off camera. Like, it seemed like there was a lot happening off camera that we didn't get to see.
I know. I wanted to see that boys' night out.
And also, Colby apparently later we find out told the girl he made out with that he was in an open relationship. And then Madeline got upset about that because she's like, we're not. But at the same time, I'm like, but what would he have said differently? Like, so I'm not in an open relationship, but I'm technically not married to my spouse right now because I'm technically trying a fake marriage with someone else because Vanessa and Nick Lachey told me to. Like, it's like, it probably is just easier to say like open relationship as opposed to like, I'm doing this quote experience called the ultimatum.
And for Madeline to get mad, like, she was trying to hook up with Randall from like the very first day at the pool when all the couples met. So for her to get so mad about that, I was like, and also she hates him. So I'm like, why do you even care? But yeah, she gets pissed. So Madeline comes home, she's wasted. She's in their like weird IKEA apartments. And what happened? So I guess,
I think Randall said that Colby said he'd kissed another girl or something. And she is like making a drunk sandwich and like starts crying and leaves the apartment in a huff.
Right.
And he's like, what world am I living in right now?
Because I think that she was like drunk. She wanted to come home and hook up. Like, that was her whole thing the whole time. And he was not trying to take it to that level. Like, he obviously missed Shanique. And like, in my opinion, seems like asexual kind of too. I don't know. He never had any...
That makes sense.
Or he just wasn't into her. But then I think when he doesn't want to like be drunk and hook up together and be like, LOL, this is so fun. Then, and he brings up Colby, she says like, why would you bring that up? Like, I don't want to hear about that, which is fair. But then, yeah, she storms out with her dogs into the street, like in the middle of the night with like flip flops on.
I hate her dogs, by the way. Like, I hate them. Why? Because they're like white, fluffy, like,
I love fluffy dogs. Devin, you told me you love every dog.
I never said that.
Okay, well, that's true, but you shamed me for not liking big dogs, but you don't like small fluffies. So I think it's like fair.
I like certain small fluffies.
Not
but
hers.
Not
okay.
All. Shout out to Courtney, but not all small fluffies are my thing. So then Shanique and Randall go out together after Shanique found out Randall had held hands with Madeline. And this is where I'm confused about the rules of the world, because I thought they were supposed to not see each other, but I guess they can just like ask each other to hang out. So she goes out with Randall, and this is where I learned that despite Randall being a very poised, amazing person, and despite Shanique being also an amazing, very likable person, when they come together, it's toxic. Shanique reverted to this like extremely petty, immature, childish, pissed off behavior, like not even listening to him, disengaging, trying to belittle him. And I was like, wait, who are these people? And I relate to that because I know what it feels like when you are in that type of relationship. And like the second something happens, you just, it's like when anything happens, it's like you're already in the heat of the worst part of the fight, because that's how often you already are fighting. It's like you're in a constant state of fighting. So there's no like buildup. It's just like, all right, well, fuck you. All right, fuck you. Because you're just so sick of this person. And it was hard to watch.
No, I so related to her though.
I relate even more to the Madeline Colby dynamic where like she like roasts him. There's a certain type of person who, particularly women, I think at a certain level of dysfunction in a relationship, you become a roast comic that is on par with like the best of them, because you just know everything about this person and you know what bothers them about themselves, and you just like so accurately can make fun of it. Like that's Madeline. Like she's like, everything he says, she has the perfect like response that genuinely is hilarious. But it's like, okay, I'm laughing with you, but you're still in the relationship. I've gotten to that point so many times where I'm like basically just talking shit about this person. And everyone's like, cool, but like, you guys are together? Like, what?
Right. I have to say I've never done that.
You've never roasted a person?
No, I don't relate to that side of it.
To making fun of someone that you're supposed to love and care for, you don't relate to?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, I do. And I guess I'm being vulnerable by sharing that. What I thought was like a very relatable thing is apparently very isolated to just me. And
oh my God, no. I think it's the exact same spectrum, just like the opposite side. Like Shanique, yes, takes it in and she then is like in a place of, I would imagine, fear or feeling like she's going to be embarrassed or, you know, is he going to leave me? And then she just becomes this like childish side that's like, if you're going to hurt me, I'm going to hurt you first.
Yeah.
And then the other side, Madeline, is just like, it's more on the surface of, you know,
yes,
there's so many things wrong here and I'm just going to make fun of you as like our way of relating and our dynamic, which it's the same sort of at the core, like somewhat dysfunctional, not ideal, like ways of communicating and relating. So I do relate, Devin.
Thank you. I think it's the same effect on the people around you where like it makes everyone else uncomfortable.
Totally.
And that is definitely a moment I've had in past relationships,
yes,
where I'm like, oh my God, everyone's uncomfortable because like we obviously are in such a bad place and like this is hell.
I want true romance.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now. Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring? but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Anyway, so then we have more drama that happens, but I don't think that it's anything worth talking about. Like, there's just like a fight with Shanique and Zay and whatever. But then we get the change back. Now they're leaving their new fake spouses and they are going back to their original spouses. At this point, we should mention that Ray and Jake have definitely hit it off, like huge chemistry, really like each other. Ray is a completely different person around him. She definitely is like bright and happy and like excited. Whereas with Zay, she's very shut down. It seemed like Shanique and Zay had chemistry, but neither of them was in a good place. And that kind of showed. Then you have Madeline, as we discussed, with Randall, like not on the same page because of one's alcoholism. And then Colby and April doing like this horrific, like, we're just going to be like the two friends who didn't find anyone, but then also kissing for no reason. So then they change back and they have a changing back ceremony, which is like, again, I don't want to hear more about like when Nick was with Jessica and then he left her for Vanessa and Vanessa was like, right. I want kids, whatever. This is, again, Madeline cracks me up because Colby says that April grew into a woman in their time together. And Madeline is like, so did she get her period? Like, what happened? And basically, there's not that much drama to the ceremony. They all go back to their people. I mean, there is drama brewing because everyone's saying like, yeah, I had a great time with someone who wasn't you, basically. And then they have to go spend the night together. There's two incidents that are toxically relatable that occur. One is Madeline going through Colby's Apple Watch or phone. And then April going through Jake's phone. So Madeline finds out about the girl that Colby made out with and that he's actually been like talking to her and texting with her and FaceTiming with her for 3 full weeks. April finds out that Jake took a video of Ray twerking in a club, which honestly doesn't seem that bad. And then she also admits that she airdropped it to herself, which I honestly was taking notes on.
Yeah, I loved that.
So this is where the gaslighting with Colby starts. Like, he immediately is deflecting. And it's like, Madeline knows that's what she's doing. Like, this is where it becomes so confusing with them. Because it's like, she knows and she's aware that he's manipulating her. He's lying to her. He's blaming her for what he did that was obviously dishonest. But yet she still is holding on to this relationship somehow.
Yeah. I also think Colby, I mean, him texting that other girl for 3 weeks, I'm like, oh, you just need someone to be obsessed with.
Yes.
It's not even, he does love Madeline, I suppose, but you can just tell, like, he is just like, I will be married and, like, be a father in Texas. And, like, if Madeline's not going to say yes, I'll move on. Yeah, shoot guns, etc. But yeah, so Madeline going through Colby's phone. I mean, it's bad, but I'm also like, you also wanted to, I don't know. They're so dysfunctional to me that I'm like, none of your antics make sense. Like, you shouldn't be together. But I think, I mean, she also mentions it. They have like the best chemistry ever. I feel like she's just like the horniest person living. I hate that word. Sorry. But like,
No. I totally agree. Like,
she like just, that's just her thing. She's just like, I just like, I love him. Like, we have amazing. I'm like, he's so awful. But okay.
She just wants to hook up. Yeah. And she later does admit something that I found relatable and interesting as someone who's also struggled with addiction. She later says to her mom that she's basically like addicted to getting attention and validation from people.
Right.
And I think he is, too, in a different way. I think they just have, like, a very, like, incredibly deeply toxic dynamic. Also, at one point, so she's, like, pissed at him. And then she goes back out with the, like, toxic friends. And then they're all talking even more shit about Colby. And then he shows up and he's like, hey. And they're like, fuck you. And he's like, okay. Like, I'm like, how is this normal to anyone?
I think they're all just, like, super. I mean, the thing about Madeline is when she drinks, she truly is very sloppy, right? Yeah. Like, and you can tell Randall's turned off when they're back, when they're together. And then Colby makes a comment about it at one point. But, like, it's just a sloppy young group of friends. They're just drinking. And, like, maybe the next day, they don't even necessarily remember all the stuff they said.
I agree. And also, like, you can see when he knows the points to hit her buttons, too. Because he's like, why don't you have some more tequila? And she, like, loses her shit, which, like, I can obviously relate to, but is not a great sign that things are going well mentally. So we have those two fights, and then we have the bachelorette party for Alexis because she is getting married to Hunter as established. And this is a very brief scene. The most important thing being that when they seem to be in like a fake bar, like it was very small and looked like a set, but Madeline is at the bar, like getting drinks, and April says, make mine a virgin because I have an ultrasound on Monday. She says she's 12 weeks late on her cycle, which I personally 12 like
days.
She says she's 12 days late on her cycle, which I personally, the use of the word cycle is something for me that bumps. Like, I just don't like when people say my cycle, because I'm like, is this 1965? So she says she's 12 days late on her cycle, and so she's getting an ultrasound? Like,
I mean, you cannot, like,
truly go to CVS. The thing is, truly go to CVS first and get.
Why would you go and get an ultrasound before you took an at-home pregnancy test? Has anyone ever done that?
No one has ever done that. And she's like laughing as she says it because she's like, this is me. I am Chaos Agent. I am April. Also, Madeline says, what did she say? Like, go pee on a stick and then drink. Or she says, take a pregnancy test and then drink some fucking alcohol.
Yeah,
and
Ray's she's like, so pissed.
No, don't do that. Meanwhile, everyone tells Ray at this event that they're like, okay, you should obviously just be with Jake. You're so much happier with him. Then we have the subsequent unraveling of Ray and Zay. And this was dark and honestly, at some points, terrifying. She admits to hitting him. I don't know. So basically, they get in a fight where she completely shuts down. Like, she's like, I'm just not giving you anything. And he's like, I'm trying to tell you, like, I love you. And obviously, he has abandonment issues from his past. And he's like, but I love you. I want to be with you. And she's like, I'm sick. I'm going to sleep. Which, like, that would trigger me as well. But then he goes out until 8 a.m., loses all contact with her, and they break up. So they break up before the experience, quote unquote, is even over.
Yeah. No, it's such a sad night, and I feel for both of them. But you can see, so Ray is now back with Jay, and you can see she is a totally different person with him than she is with Jake. Like, she is completely shut down. There's, like, no life in her eyes, and he's, like, so desperate for them because she tells him, like, I don't want to get married anymore. And then that's, like, what tips him off, and then he goes out and parties till 8 a.m. and comes home, and it's, like, a really bad scene. Yeah, I guess she admits to hitting him, and then she's like sitting at the elevator and he's walking by and he leaves and they're done. It's sad.
It is sad. They both kind of like go to their previous people and they're like, we're broken up now. And it's like even more kind of sad because at that moment, it seems like Jake is like, oh, well, I'm like trying things with April. And Shanique is like, I'm not going to be with you. Like, I might not be with Randall, but I'm not going to be with you. And it's just kind of like, ah, oh, this experience is not working for everyone. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Or anyone, to be frank. So anyway, then we have this whole dramatic thing where Madeline breaks up with Colby. She says something very relatable to me where she says, I feel stupid for trying so hard for him and I'm embarrassed that I was willing to do that. Like, totally relate to that sentiment where you're like, I'm the one who's been trying to make this work and like, he's such an asshole. Now I'm just like embarrassed. But also totally. She has been kind of an asshole to him. So I don't know. It's like a double-edged sword.
I know, but there's that last scene. I don't remember where this happens, but it's like in this time frame. And he also like leaves the house at one point after she finds the phone,
watch,
and reads a text. He leaves and comes back and he's like hungover. And Ray is there because they're like hanging out and it's super awkward. And he lays down and he does that classic moment where he's like, you deserve better than me. Like, I'm not good enough for you. And it's like that self-pity. And that almost like brings her back in because she's like, oh, wait, this like actually might end. Never mind. Like, I love him.
Yeah. So this is where they left us on a cliffhanger. that brings us to today, where we both watched these two new episodes. Today, we are speaking on Wednesday, April 13th. The episode's not going to come out for a while. We watched this first thing in the morning. I'll say I had it with my morning coffee.
Yep, same.
And I will say, like, okay, so the ultimatum episode, like, they're like the actual ultimatum, like where they're going to choose each other or not choose each other, could have been 5 minutes long. They drew it out. It was so boring. I was like, I don't care about the fluff, whatever. Just show me who chooses who. But it was upsetting. Okay, so first they choose like the least upsetting one first, which is like Shanique and Randall do have a really cute moment where I was like, okay, you guys do truly have like a seed of true love for each other. And like, I want what's best for you, even though you are in such a toxic cycle right now.
Wait, also, can I just comment on like where they chose to do these? It was like on a dirt path in some like random.
I know. Like, was it a horse farm? Because then there was like a horse at one point.
Yeah. I mean, some of them were better than others, some of the locations, but like it was literally like two of them were just like sitting on a random bench, like not even in like a nice, it was like on this weird
bench. Yeah.
But it wasn't even in a park. Like I was like, what is this scene that we're setting? But anyway. Okay, so
they need to work on their locations. It's like you can't have your other hit reality show be selling Sunset and then give us these locations where they're at like a mid-level hotel pool or like an outdoor beer garden. Like, step it up.
Maybe season two.
If there is a season two. I feel like there's going to be a lawsuit. I mean, this was damaging. This was a damaging event, but I do hope that there's a season two. I literally had the thought that I was like, okay, I'm glad this show is number one on like the algorithm, because I want more of this, even though I know it hurts people.
But do you think it did? Me?
I mean, who came out of this like good?
Okay, well, we need to get to the reunion and then we'll really break that down. But we're not there yet. So Shanique and Jay, you feel they have true love. I agree, but I don't even care about
that.
No, them.
Shanique and Randall.
Sorry.
We keep doing
this. Oh my God. Shanique and Randall. They're boring to me, but I'm happy for them.
Yes.
Done.
Then we have Jake and April, which was shockingly not as dramatic as I thought it would be. Like, basically, he's like, all right, well, like, I love you as a person, but like, I don't want to marry you. Goodbye. And she's like, okay, thanks. Like, like, yeah, wait, she's what?
Like, she's like, okay. And then they say, see you later. And I'm like, is this fake? Like, are they really just doing this for the show and then they're going to see each other and they know that, so April is not as sad as she would be?
I don't know. It was very confusing. I thought she would have like done something like released all the animals in the park, or like, I don't know, like set the park on fire. She just seemed like so like, get another ultrasound. I don't know. The last time we saw her, she was like giving him a pregnancy test and she's like, I guess you'll be happy this was negative. And he's like, wait, what? Like, I don't even know what you're talking about right now. And then he's like, okay, I don't love you anymore. And she's like, all right, thanks. See you later. Bye.
Yeah, it's like, absolutely. Hello? She's like, okay, bye. They're like, you look good. Yeah, you look good too. And he's like, yeah, you know. No, the one thing he said was a quote, me and Ray are not going to run away together, is how he starts. Yeah. And then, so I'm like, oh, they're staying together. This is so boring. And then he's like, I really wanted to get there, meaning to the place of wanting to marry her, but unfortunately I couldn't. I'm like, okay. And then they're like, okay, bye, see you. Like, thanks so much.
Thanks for the experience. I know. I'm like, did you guys just meet? Like, why are you already texting her mom? But then Ray appears from the dirt path and she's like, hey, what's up? Like, so what's going on? And he's like, hey, so like, all so casual. He's like, yeah, so like, I'm not staying with April, but these are two tickets to anywhere in the world. I'm like, hello?
It's like a lead up where he's like going into his like jacket pocket, like the inside pocket, and he's pulling something out and he's like, two tickets to anywhere in the world in this like weird golden envelope, like as if it's like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I was like,
totally.
What is this show? And then she's like,
he's
oh
like,
my
I
God.
Said good day, sir.
It was insane. Also, they're on the same dirt path. Like, it's moments after April's gone. She, like, pulls up in an SUV. She's, like, putzing on up. And it's just insane. It's all insane. He pulls out the envelope. He's, like... And then she says, yes, I would love that. And then they start, like, making out. And I'm, like... But Jake's eyes, when he looked at her, like, I was, like, oh, he does... Like, I don't want to fall for it. I know it's a show. But I was, like, he kind of loves her, I feel.
They light up when they look at each other.
They really do.
They do
light up. And you cannot make that up, people. Even
there's
on
chemistry.
TV.
I don't light up when I look at most people?
No.
Anyway, so then we have something that it did hurt. I'll say it hurt me. It hurt me. And it made me think about the fact that, like, I don't work. Like, I was like, maybe I need to, like, schedule a therapy session. It was tough to come back from, which is that Colby and Madeline not only get engaged, they get married on the spot. Like, Colby in true psychopathic form. I was like, is this a sci-fi movie? Like, is this Stepford Wives or something? Like, he, like, proposes to her in a weird, like, warehouse, or, like, maybe it's, like, a park. Like,
they had the best setup. So they were at least inside of, like, a structure, not true. Just, like, on a beaten path. They were, like, under an overhang with, like, a weird little floral.
It was an overhang.
Yeah, with, like, a floral display of sorts. And I was like, oh, something's going to happen here. But, yeah, it was very odd. But then her face. So, yes, they not only do not break up, which I was not surprised at that point because I felt like their last, like, psychotic moment, like, brought them closer because that's their dynamic. But they get engaged and then he, like, immediately, but also back up, when he's getting ready in the morning and he's, like, flipping his hair, like,
it's disgusting. Sickening.
I'm just like, you are so not, but all the girls were like, he's so hot. Anyway, so
every movement he makes feels like a parasite embedding into my core.
Yeah, he's like everything that makes me feel physically ill, like when I look at a man.
Yeah. I mean, not to be harsh, guys, not to be harsh. But
wait,
like,
I feel bad now. Just kidding.
No, no, Colby, no. Don't feel bad. He's probably Republican. Don't feel bad. He sucks.
No, his physical essence is not for me. The cowboy hat, the boots, the, like, boot cut jeans with the belt tucked into the shirt. It's just, it's a whole vibe that some people are into. But
I don't know who's into that.
But didn't you think, so when he's, like, starting his speech to Madeline under the overhang with the flowers and it seems pretty intense, she looks so nervous.
Yeah.
Like, she, I mean, nobody can see her faces, but she's like cringing. She's like, oh my God, is this happening?
She's
and then
terrified.
She says, yes.
She's like, am I about to marry my least favorite person on planet Earth? And turns out, yes, because he's like, okay, you said yes, let's get married right now. Let's do it right now then. It's like, okay, so you are desperately trying to trap this person. And then even worse, guys. So then I'm like, this is horrible. Like, this is so deeply upsetting. I can't come back. Little did I know what was waiting around the corner, which was the reunion episode. Did I skip over a couple? No, because Ray and Zay are already broken up.
No, but the one thing that, like, I was obsessed with, just really quick, because I'm obsessed with their dynamic. So they walk outside and he's like, oh my God, it's me and wifey. And she's like, ew, like, don't, like, air that. Don't say that. Like, she's already grossed out by him calling her wifey, which I am too. But he's, like, so excited. It's the best day of his life. He's going to become a dad. He's like, we're going to start a family, like, rubbing her stomach. It's just, it's truly everything that was gross about them up until the very end. And I think, I mean, anyway, we'll get into the reunion, but that, I was dead when she was like, don't say wifey.
I know. And he's like, but you just, like, literally married me.
He's like, but wifey.
That's her part in this. It's like,
yes.
It's like, okay, you, yes, you can be bothered by his behavior, but you are actively co-signing it. Like,
yeah,
yes, it's disgusting.
You married him.
It's disgusting that he calls you wifey, but you married him and you are his wife. Like, I don't know what to tell you. So,
and then he goes to, like, kiss her and she's like, ew.
And she's like, don't fucking touch me. It's like, okay, yes, I've been there. Yes, I relate. But, like, this isn't going to bode well.
But you didn't marry those people.
No, but I let things go longer than they should have.
Fair. We all have.
As
very
I told
relatable.
You, I began to roast the person and that wasn't necessary. So then we get to the reunion and Madeline walks on set 7 months pregnant, which, by the way, like, that alone, I'm like, when was this show filmed? Like,
I know, same.
What's going on? Like, 7 months? Like, I don't know when they filmed this.
They said it was like 6 months. I think when Jake was talking, he was like, it's been 6 months since the show aired.
That is just, like, so upsetting to me. It's like a gut punch. Like, I'm just like, oh my God, like, I can't even catch my breath after seeing the fact that she's fucking 7 months pregnant with Colby's baby.
I was happy for them.
No, Leslie!
I know! I found myself, so I'm, like, sitting there with my coffee and I'm, like, just watching, minding my own minding, you know, business.
And I clearly see that I wasn't minding my own business. I'm like disgusted and judging every single thing everyone's doing.
I was literally smiling ear to ear when they were like happy and they were like, we're having a baby. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so programmed to be like, baby, man and woman, good.
Yes.
Great job.
I know.
You know what I mean? But
married, baby, good.
Married, baby, experience. Like flowy dress.
Yeah.
No, but I was happy. And aside from that, I think, I don't know, like they seemed pretty happy and where they stacked up against the other couples. Like I was like, all right, like maybe it worked out. Like maybe.
Okay. But he like backhand burns his sister. He's like, oh, Madeline's taking this like a champ. Like I just watched my sister go through pregnant and like compared to her, like Madeline's taking it like a champ. I was like, taking it like a champ.
Also never say taking it like a champ about a
anything.
Woman, anything. And especially like giving birth, like
gestation.
No.
Yeah.
Like, no, you're right. Okay. Yeah. So the moment I smiled was when they came out, he had like his long flowy hair. And
she
was like
glowing. Yeah.
And he was like cuter maybe with the hair. I don't know, but they were both glowing. They were so happy. And that's when I was smiling. And then when he started talking, I remembered. And he, also, their body language was so interesting because he was literally like all the way to the other side of the couch. There was something weird there. But anyway, I did have that moment, I have to admit.
That's a great point. So basically, to move through this quickly, because it's already way past Leslie's bedtime. So basically, there's that fucking bomb of truth that comes out that, I mean, couldn't be hidden because she's 7 months pregnant. And then we have April, who I'm like, okay, so there's just no world in which April is not dating like a current or former member of the Trump campaign. Like I'm dating an older man, like he wants to have kids right away. Like she just is going to Mar-a-Lago on the weekends and like sitting there while her 60-year-old husband smokes a cigar. Like I just know it.
Absolutely. I really wanted them to show. I need to look up her Instagram because I didn't. I really wanted them to show like a side by side of him, but we can figure that out for sure.
I know.
We have to find that.
She's like, I am someone's wifey. Yeah, he does want to have kids with April. And I'm like, what the fuck? We can find her Instagram and maybe like he exists. But he's definitely a downgrade from Jake. And like Jake couldn't hate her more. Like they do the montage for each person of like, this was your vibe during the show, and during hers, Jake was like shaking his head, rolling his eyes, like fuck this person.
Yeah, Jake hates her.
So she's like a cheerleader for Trump. Like I'm just throwing accusations left and right, but whatever.
We will confirm
Jake and Ray. It's so basically like there's some drama with Ray and Zay. Like I guess they did sort of, according to him, like they stayed together. They were already back together when Ray agreed to go with Jake to 2 Tickets to Anywhere. But Ray says like she decided it wouldn't be mature to go on 2 Tickets to Anywhere. And like they didn't. And whatever.
2 Tickets to Anywhere.
but Zay is clearly feeling burnt by Ray in some form. And Ray clearly has a lot of anger towards him. They kind of blow up at each other. Then Ray, it comes out as bi, which was like such an amazing moment, and says that she like, I mean, she kind of seemed to get emotional and was like, that was like a good thing about this experience is that like, I explored that and like, I am really happy dating women. And I was like, oh, okay.
I know. I mean, I was super happy for her, but I was really bummed, honestly, that Jake and Ray didn't go on hashtag tickets to anywhere
together. True. 2 Tickets to Anywhere.
2 Tickets to Anywhere. Like, and the whole time, Zay seems really, really like distraught and upset. He obviously still loves Zay. Ray is so shut down again until she starts talking about her experience with coming out and like being more comfortable being bi, which was beautiful. But I was like, why are you guys not asking? Like, it was just all too, nobody was going deep, which really annoyed me. Like, I was like, something happened here and no one's going to talk about it because Zay is going to get really pissed. Jake is just like quietly, like still obsessed with Ray, I felt, and like supporting her, but like bummed that, you know, obviously they didn't work out.
Yeah.
But I was disappointed in that.
I was too. I really feel that Nick and Vanessa still need lessons on how to host a reunion. Like they weren't asking the right questions. They were last time they were too like messy with like Vanessa having her weird thing with Shake and being like, I was dismangled on the floor, this man. And this time she was too reserved and she should have been like, wait, what is actually going on here? But Nick is just always just there. And it's like, I don't even know why he's there, but she's clearly taking like the active role. So in that case, like, learn how to host a fucking reunion and ask the right questions. Like, what's going on?
I mean, they need new hosts, it goes without saying, because nobody was asking the hard-hitting questions that I really needed to hear, and they are annoying.
What are your final thoughts, and who do you think is going to make it in the long run of these couples? We have Ray and Jake maybe sort of together. Shanique and Randall had broken up right after the show, but then stayed apart for 6 months, and now are back together again. We have April and her Mar-a-Lago man. We have Colby and Madeline. And then we have fucking Nate and Lauren, who cares. And then we have Alexis and Hunter, we all care. And then we have Zay. Sad. Just Zay by himself. So who do you think will stay together?
I think Alexis and Hunter, for sure.
Yeah.
I do think Colby and Madeline for a while. Maybe they'll break up. Or, like, get divorced down the line when she's like, oh, wait, I just woke up and I hate my life and you're annoying and now our son also wears cowboy hats and I'm over
it. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But maybe they'll work. I don't know. Obviously, I, like, smiled when I saw them together. So, Shanique and Randall, I don't think so. I just think there's too much, like, damage there.
I'm not sure. I'm kind of jury's out on them. I agree there's so much damage there, but I also think there's, like, really deep love there. But they're also so young. Like, they are the ones who actually seem like they're like 23 and 24. And it's like, the world is your oyster. Like,
Right. You
don't need to get married or move on.
It's so true. So, yeah, maybe they will. What do you think, though?
I don't know. I'm kind of like weirdly hoping for them. I hope they took 6 months to like learn, grow. Now they're 23 and a half, 24 and a half. Maybe they're a little wiser. And I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting for Alexis and Hunter, sure. I'm really rooting for Jake and Ray. I have to say, I want them to find each other again.
I know, but
they have a rare thing.
I totally agree, but I feel Ray was like on her own journey right now and happy. But yes, I agree. Yeah. I want them to find each other. I think they need time away from the show, time away from, you know, the guilty association with their exes and all of that. But I hope they find each other too.
What is your stance on ultimatums after having watched this show? Has it changed at all? Are you staunchly pro? Are you staunchly anti?
So I'm staunchly anti, personally.
Interesting.
I don't know. Like, I guess it works for some people, but I don't think I would want to start something having given an ultimatum. However, my mom did give my dad an ultimatum and it worked out.
Yeah.
For them. But I don't know. I think I'm anti for my own personal usage of the ultimatum.
Okay, I'm staunchly pro.
What?
I'm pro. I think like if there comes a point, to me I'm like an ultimatum is like setting a boundary. Like it's like, hey, I am not gonna be happy in this relationship if we don't take the next step. I need to take the next step.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you available for that? If not, goodbye.
Okay. That's true. I mean, yeah, but to me, I'm like,
I'm not like, okay, like we have to get married or else, but I'm
totally.
If I want to move forward in a mature way and you don't, there's a breaking point.
I guess I don't see that as like an ultimatum. Ultimatum just feels like there's some like immaturity attached, perhaps. Just perhaps because I just watched this show.
Because of marry or move on?
Because of marry or move on and there's no other choices. No, but I agree. But I guess I wouldn't think of it as like, okay, we're going to have a conversation. Here's my ultimatum. If you don't do X, then I'm leaving. But I think in that sense, it's more of just like a breakup of like, this is what I need and you're not giving it to me, so bye. And that's like not an ultimatum.
Right. And there definitely were terms in the ultimatums that I like understood more or didn't understand within the show. Like I understood why Nate, even though he's an incel, was like, I want to have kids. Like if you don't, I have to go. I didn't so much understand that like the fact that Randall was telling Shanique, like, I want to get married, but I'm in debt right now, so I don't feel comfortable taking that step, and that she couldn't meet him halfway and be like, totally, let's wait till you're more secure. So that was like, that feels like, okay, now it's not about love. It's about like you needing a material thing. But I don't know. I mean, I'm going to be on all these people's Instagrams all night looking for signs. And I'm excited for that. Okay. Leslie is coming to us way past her bedtime, and yet she has delivered above and beyond one of my favorite episodes of all time. This has been a joy.
I know, Carolina, watch out. I'm going to be coming in for all the hot reality TV goss.
We'll definitely have you back for reality TV goss. I mean, maybe there's like a new, I don't know what the next step is. They've done Marry or Move On. Maybe they're going to do Netflix's version of Teen Mom next. I don't know. So we hope to have us, we hope to have you with us again. I love you, no matter what your stance on ultimatums is. I love you, listeners. Thanks for tuning in.
I love you, Devin.
Love
Thank
you.
Bye.
Bye.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance. It's true. True romance. It's so romantic. Love me, baby. Don't.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.